Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? When we partake of the communion, God wants us to discern the body of Christ and see the different things that Jesus' body represents and what he did for us in his passion for us. When we look and we notice that this bread that is made without yeast, we understand that Jesus' body is and was completely without sin. He's perfect in every way. He never made a mistake. And that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. He was beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. And you'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced not just when he was on the cross, but when he got nails in his hands, his body was pierced. When he got nails in his feet, his body was pierced. When he got a crown of thorns, his body was pierced. And everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And we get redemption in some area for that. And you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. And I mean, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The same way we have to discern the body of Christ, we have to discern the blood of Christ. When we discern the body of Christ, we honor the blood. We notice that this blood that Jesus shed is absolutely pure. Not one fault in it, so it never dies. That's why the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Because it's still alive. It's still doing what God sent it to do. And that blood of Jesus gives us boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we've been put into right standing with God. So we thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Got another memorization verse for you. Open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Did you know that God never stops thinking about you? He never stops thinking about you. Sometimes in the hustle and bustle of life and the challenges that we may face, we seem to get a little bit disengaged. And we have a habit of losing that God consciousness. And then we wonder why we're tired. When we're facing our challenges. We need to understand that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And that everything we face, He's always right there with us. And He's there with us to help us through the challenges of life. And it's really special to know that when we think we're going through an impossible situation and that we're all alone, that's when He's carrying us. You know, if you've ever been around sheep, sometimes they're baby animals, sometimes you'll be moving a whole herd or a whole flock, and there'll be that one baby that just can't make it. And somebody will pick that baby up and carry that baby to the finish line. And we're just natural shepherds on this earth. God, who loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, will certainly carry us to the finish line too. It's when we think that our challenges are insurmountable and impossible and everything around us seems to be coming against us, that's when His grace is multiplied upon us. Then when we get through to the other side, we can't look at ourselves and say, look what I did. Because a lot of times we wanted to give up every step of the way. But when we get to the finish line, we can say, look what God did. Amen? It's by His grace. But you know, there's a part of this verse that really stands out. He has thoughts of peace for us. You know, when Jesus was born and these angels, they came down and they said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. They were screaming that. Peace on earth, goodwill towards man. That was good news because the war between heaven and earth had come to an end. We finally had peace with God. He got His Savior on this earth. This world that we live in, almost everybody I know in some way or form is seeking for peace. And they're looking under every leaf they can look. But they have some mixed up ideas of what peace really is. You see, when Jesus was talking about peace, He wasn't saying peace, brother. He's saying shalom. And that nothing missing, nothing broken. That life of God flowing in you. That's what He was talking about. The blessing poured upon you. When He'd say shalom, that's what He was talking about. The world and its habit of trying to find everything they need outside of God tends to run in the wrong direction. There's millions of people that are seeking peace that are stone cold drug addicts. I'm not talking just about the people that are using heroin and all different kinds of drugs. I'm talking about people that are on prescription drugs. They went to the doctor. They said, I need to have peace. And the doctor said, take two of these. And then pretty soon they have to take four. And then pretty soon they have to take more. And then pretty soon those don't work and they take more. And then they have little kids that are overactive. And they want them to settle down so they can be peaceful. So they prescribe them pills. We even have some states that have legalized it where that teachers can give these kids pills without notifying their parents. That needs to stop. I think it will too. There's going to be a great reckoning in this world. There's going to be a great reckoning in this world, and it's coming soon. And I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And we're going to get a really good glimpse at this peace that we're seeking. Everybody's seeking. They really want peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, that word for peace in the Greek is really hupereko. I don't know if I said that right, but that's the way I'm saying it. Hupereko. There's two words tied together there. The first word is hooper. That means over and above. And the second part is echo, and that means I have or possess it. So he wants you to possess this peace of God that surpasses all understanding. He wants you to have that over and above what you could even imagine. Now, it's one thing to say, go in peace, brother, have the peace of God. But without giving you a recipe or a means to get to that peace, you're not going to walk away in peace. Not for very long. You remember, we talked about this, our brains, with these fine-tuned thinking machines that we're attached to. You know, they're always thinking. They're always moving. They're always thinking. And sometimes we just think about some of the dumbest stuff you can even imagine. You know. And sometimes we think we're just thinking and don't realize that we're actually listening. See, the devil, he has access to your soul. Did you know that? He has access to your mind, will, and emotion. He has no access to your spirit whatsoever. He cannot touch your spirit at all. But he can send you fiery darts. He can give you these bad ideas. He can give you things to think on that are just nightmarish. You realize these movies, these horror movies, these terrible movies that you see on TV or in the movies, these books, I don't watch mean movies. I stay away from that. But they have them out there, you know, like Friday the 13th, stuff like that. Do you realize somebody had to meditate on that? You know, they didn't just come up with that one day. They meditated on that. They thought about that. They thought about that. They meditated on that subject. That means they were listening to somebody tell them what to tell you. You see how dangerous TV is sometimes? You see how dangerous radio can be sometimes? You see how dangerous the internet can be sometimes. How dangerous Facebook can be sometimes. But a good thing about Paul, he said, "The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He also gave us the recipe. He said, "Finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. See, he gave us something to think about. And remember, when we're thinking, we're listening. And the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the more we hear the Word of God, specifically the New Testament, and specifically the words that Jesus has for us, the more we listen to those things, guess what's going to happen? The more you're going to think on those things. You're going to think about what you read. You're going to think about what you listen to. And then guess what's going to happen? You're going to talk about it. And guess what's happening? You're going to hear it. And then it's going to be more embedded into your heart. And then you're going to talk about it some more. You're going to think about it some more. That's why he tells us to meditate on the Word of God. Think about these things. You know, our subconscious mind doesn't know right from wrong one way or another. It doesn't know yes from no. It doesn't know up from down. Our subconscious mind only knows what it gets taught. So if you teach that thing a specific lesson, it's going to take that as being a fact. So if you meditate on something long enough, your subconscious mind is going to take that as the truth. That's why it's so important to weigh everything you hear and see against the Word of God before you think about it too much. You know, one of the things about the, you know, Hitler, he said if you tell a lie often enough, people will accept it as the truth. They'll just say that's the way it is. So we need to pay attention to what we're listening to. We need to pay attention to what we're thinking about. You know, John chapter 14, verse 27. And this is where the rubber is going to meet the road on this peace deal. John 14, verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, true peace is not derived from circumstances. Peace is not derived from people, places, or things. True peace comes only from Jesus. It is His to give as He purchased it with His own blood. See, people fight this all the time. I've dealt with a lot of people in recovery, and this is one of the big challenges. They want peace. Everybody wants peace. Everybody wants to have peace of mind. And so when we first get going, we think, well, if I live in the right town, I'll have peace. If I have the right wife, I'll have peace. If I have the right job, I'll have peace. If I just get this bill paid off, I'll have peace. If my kids just behave the right way, I'll have peace. If this happens, I'll have peace. If that happens, I'll have peace. What's going on? They're relying on people, places, and things, and circumstances for them to have peace. Peace comes only from Jesus. Did you know that? Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. See, this is one of my journeys. I've lived this journey firsthand. I told a psychiatrist one time, I want peace. So they started doing their whatever they did, and that didn't really do it for me. But I found, well, Jesus found me. He wasn't lost. But I got a hold of him, and that's how peace started happening in my heart. And then I realized that I could have peace regardless of what other kind of chaos might be going on in the world. No matter how many people were being total idiots around me, I could have peace no matter where I was or what I was doing. I could have peace. See, that's good news. There's a lot of people that think they can't get better if they don't move to a certain town. There's a lot of people don't think they can get better if they don't get away from a certain people. There are a lot of people don't think they can get better because the circumstances that are around them. That's false. You can attain peace right where you're at. And in fact, it'll be the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that's flowing through your heart and your mind that will change your circumstances. It'll change the people around you. It'll change places. And it'll change things. But it's only going to come from Jesus. You know, the Jews, they figured this out a long time ago. In Acts chapter 4, verse 27, it says they killed the Prince of Peace. They didn't want him messing up their deal. They had peace with the local government. As long as they did what they told them to do and they behaved and didn't cause too much of a ruckus, they had some deals made and they were getting along just fine. Without Jesus. Now, Jesus showed up on the scene and turned things inside out, and they didn't like that. But instead of turning to the Prince of Peace, they turned away from him and had him crucified. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So right there it tells us that peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, when Jesus was talking about being the vine and us the branches, he was letting us know how this fruit was going to be produced in our lives. Remember in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus told us to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. So that's how we abide in the vine. See, he is the vine. And if you know anything about the vine, the vine goes down and the roots go all the way down to the water, and that vine brings that sap That's the life of the branch. And then it grows branches. We're the branches. But we're not going to grow if we're not vitally hooked to the vine. If you cut a branch off, that thing is going to wither away. Unless you graft it into another vine. See, we've been grafted in. We were wild branches, but we got grafted in. Now we're hooked to the vine. Now it's because of the life of that vine flowing through us that this peace, this fruit, can grow on up. We do not have the ability in and of ourselves to grow fruit. See, peace, love, joy, kindness, that stuff. We don't have that ability. That's a fruit. And it only happens because of Jesus in us. Now, remember, he did say to learn of me. So we're going to have to get these Bibles, or we're going to have to get tapes. We're going to have to do something so we can hear the Word of God. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what we're doing now, we're learning of Him. To learn of Him means we're going to learn about Him. We're going to learn from Him. We're going to learn who He is. We're going to learn what He did. We're going to learn what He's doing right now. See, He's past, present, and future. He is the beginning and the end. He's everything. See, we can learn what He did. We can learn what He's doing right now. You know, He is our high priest right now. That's cool. You should say praise God. Because the Bible tells us that He ever lives to make intercession for us. Do you realize that you have the most powerful word of faith preacher that ever walked the face of this earth praying for you right now? And He's causing us to be in the right place at the right time so that right things can happen to us. Too many times we act like we're, you know, people just act like a covey of quail. They're just all over the place. They think they got to figure everything out. They think they got to do everything. You ask somebody about a challenge, they say, I'll figure something out. You ask somebody about something, they say, I'll do something. What do they do? They say, I will figure this out. I can handle this. Did you know that's operating in pride, and that's the flesh? What would be wrong with saying, I don't know what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to ask God. He knows what to do about it. I told that to one of my customers one time. There was something on his house. I was working on his house, and we were going. And I left this one spot, and I just kept going and going. And finally, he came out there and said, what are you going to do about that? And I said, I don't know. That wasn't the answer he wanted. And he said, well, you got to know something. I said, I don't got to know anything. He said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, God will let me know what I got to do when it gets time for that. And he said, well, you're already around the corner. I said, well, it ain't time for that. So I'm over here. He'll let me know how to fix it. And he did. You know, I read an article about this preacher. He ran an orphanage, and evidently they had a lot of orphans. And man, the stuff that this guy dealt with, and it was just amazing. But one day somebody came up there and said, they handed him a list and said, you got to have, I think it was milk, you got to have this much milk to feed all these orphans, and we don't have any, and you don't have any money. What are you going to do about it? And he took that list, shoved it in the trash can, and said, I ain't going to do anything about it. Those are God's kids. Well, evidently, there was a milk truck driving by, and it tipped over in front of the orphanage, and they told him, some, come out and get this milk. If we can't haul it where we're going now, if you guys can use it, you got it. God knows how to take care of us. You know, Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. See, we spend a lot of time concentrating on food, clothing, and shelter. Now, maybe you don't really focus on all three of them. The women might focus more on clothes, and the men might focus more on food. But we spend a lot of time thinking about food, clothing, and shelter. God knows we need these things. And he told us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now we know his righteousness. We become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus once we get born again. But do you know the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. The kingdom of God is love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's what we're supposed to seek. See, we're seeking peace all the time. We're just seeking it in the wrong places a lot of times. The peace that we're really wanting in our hearts, the peace that will fill that void, will come only from Jesus. You know, people were attached to this world, were these earthen vessels, and we're attached to this world, and we're always seeking for the answer. We just don't know what the answer is, and we have these voids sometimes, and we need to fill these voids, and we try to fill these voids with all kinds of different things. We'll try alcohol, we'll try drugs, we'll try sex, we'll try work, we'll try money, we'll try hobbies, we'll try anything that we can get our hands on to make us happy, because we're thinking that's peace. If we can get our minds to shut up, that's the ultimate goal. What we really don't know is that when we get our minds on the answer, and the answer is Jesus, that peace will flood into our hearts in such a way that we can't contain it. That was a really, really good turning point in my life when I found out that I could have peace without anything else. I could have peace. And that Jesus was the way I could get this thing to shut up. Which was really good news. And then I found out that even if I had challenges, that I could have calmness in the presence of the storm. And that answer would come to me. He makes our storms a lot smaller when we rely on him. There's some things that we need to understand, though, in order for this peace of God to flow through our hearts and minds, and understanding the kingdom of God. You know, we talked about one of them in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, tells us about how he who knew no sin was made to be sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Once we understand that we're in right standing with him because of what Jesus did, that helps. That's a good start. We learned something of Jesus, didn't we? Right there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 tells us to believe the love that God has for us. See, there's a lot of people that wonder, you know, they hear the verse, you know, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. You know, then, I mean, there's non-believers that quote that verse to me. But how about this? Believe the love that God has for us. See, when we focus on how much God loves us, it's not about us. It's not whether we were good or bad, or talented, or rich or poor, or anything. We just believe how much he loves us. Right now, he loves us unconditionally. Well, I made a mistake yesterday. He loves us unconditionally. He has absolute forgiveness for us. You know, 1 John 1, 7 tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. That's good news. That means the blood of Jesus is still alive. You know, when I got born again, I had the idea that my sins had got washed away. The ones that I committed up to the point I got born again. And then I was going to have to spend the rest of my life asking God to forgive me for every mistake I made. And it was driving me crazy. And pretty soon I was under condemnation. And then I didn't have any confidence at all towards God. But 1 John 1, 7 tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. If you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. I mean, we take what we learn from Jesus and we walk in that by his grace and his loving kindness. He pours his blood out on us and keeps us clean. We do have a loving God. Our Lord and Savior is our good shepherd, and he laid down his life for us, and he takes care of us, and he wants us to have the best. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You can walk around saying the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we focus on the love and the joy and the peace and the forgiveness and the righteousness that Jesus did in us, that'll cause even more peace to flow into our hearts. That'll cause even more comfort. You know, go back over here to John. John chapter 14. Verse 27, and we were talking about the peace that Jesus gives. You know, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know what he said just before that? In verse 26, he said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you." You know, Holy Spirit, not only is he our helper, he's our comforter. You know, there's times when maybe the things in the world cause us to be uncomfortable, but we can take comfort in him. You know, The Bible tells us that all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. You know, he's not just talking about being born again right there. You know, sometimes we need to be saved from the circumstances of life. Sometimes there's challenges. Sometimes there's people, places, and things that are a real challenge. If you don't believe me, a place can be a challenge, just go driving through Houston. That can be a challenging place. Take a drive through Denver. That can be a challenging place. But when we call on the name of the Lord Jesus, he causes us to have that peace. He causes us to have that salvation that we need at that time. You get really, really sick, call on the name of the Lord Jesus. He will save you. You know, we're not just saved in the sense that we're going to heaven. We are that. When we get born again, we're saved. We're going to go to heaven. But did you know that you still need salvation on this earth? If you still need healing, don't you? You need protection, don't you? You need deliverance, don't you? We still need that. So we are being saved on this earth. And then when we see Jesus face to face, he will complete our redemption and we will be saved. How cool is that? He saves us from the beginning to the end. This is how this peace of God is going to flow into our hearts when we focus on these things, when we meditate on these things that Jesus did for us, when we meditate on him and learn from him. We take his yoke upon us. That peace of God will be a fruit in our life, and it will be an undeniable fruit. And here's the thing about the peace of God. See, the watchers, you know, you have watchers out there. There are people watching you. And when they see you have peace in situations that most people shouldn't have peace in, they're going to ask you, say, why aren't you crazy? Why aren't you scared out of your mind? Why are you okay? And then you can have an answer for them. You can tell them about Jesus. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. And Father, we thank you for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that just comes to us as we live in you, as we focus on you, as we learn of you, this peace of God that nobody can take away from us and we can only get from Jesus. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.